Welcome to the latest edition of GBB Live. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening that you are having a wonderful Thursday night into Friday morning. If you're in the Mid-South, it sounds like we're about to get another round of less than fun weather. But you know what? The best way to be able to enjoy not so good weather is to have some fun conversation. And I cannot think of a better person to have a fun conversation with. One of the best minds when it comes to Memphis basketball in general. We've talked to him plenty of times. His name is Parker Fleming. Parker, how are you doing today, sir?
Man, I mean, just trying to make the most of it. My house has been, my wife and I's house has been without power for 2 days now.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for parents and in-laws that live in Memphis that will graciously host us and our dog. But I mean, hey, like you said, the best way to get through all that is to kind of distract yourself a little bit, get into some conversation, talk about some Grizzlies hoops. So I'm excited to be on this podcast. And yeah, like, I mean, not only have we talked a lot of times, but I mean, if you're on this podcast feed, you've probably listened to hundreds of my podcasts over the past couple of years, whether it was Core 4, The Long View, or GBB Live. So, I mean, it's always good to be back on here.
Sure. You know, I saw it the other day on Twitter. You know, I think that it was a response to a take about another team. And somebody made the comment, oh, we're getting into the off season now. And that was basically just a funny way to describe it, the fact that we're getting into the quiet part of the NBA calendar, you know, that mid-July to late September stretch where you don't have a lot of action going. This year, we're going to have FIBA. A lot of times we, you know, have some type of international play going on. Still could be plenty of trades, you know, plenty of big names that are out there to potentially be traded. But I bring this up, Parker, because, you know, we're still 2.5 months away from when we really start talking about, you know, the next potential, you know, breakdown, the next potential really diving into the Grizzlies roster when we get news from training camp. But what are your thoughts about where this team stands right now? Coming off of Summer League, months before training camp, where are your thoughts as far as this team goes right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to ingrain myself in the offseason of offseason stuff. I'm just going to focus on previewing the outlook for this team through every different player. I want to talk about every single player leading up to the next 2.5, 3 months before the regular season. But, I mean, if they decided to say, okay, let's just take what we have in a camp and then cut Josh Christopher and Isaiah Todd once we see what we have, I'd be content with that. I think this roster is good enough to where they can continue to compete and contend in the Western Conference. The addition of Marcus Smart should help that. I think an element that no one is really talking about is a full season of Luke Kennard. And we saw what he looked like and what he did for the Grizzly system when he got integrated into it. And it was marvelous. So, I mean, I'm not really expecting anything else. I think the one quote unquote pie in the sky thing that I'm like kind of banking on maybe is kind of getting in on the Dame deal in some capacity. I pointed this out on Twitter, and it wasn't a Grizzlies take, so I don't think many people cared, but the Miami Heat can get to $75 million in salaries if they put Tyler Hero, Kyle Lowry, and Duncan Robinson in a trade for Damian Lillard. And from what it looks like as well, it's going to take more than those guys. It may take Hami Hawkes, or it might take Nikola Jovic. So, I mean, the Heat's going to have to replenish depth with either A, or really with unwanted contracts, whether it's a large contract or it is like a couple of guys on rookie scales that just haven't panned out yet. And that kind of seems like an opportunity where the Grizzlies can get in, because I know Yahoo Sports Jake Fisher reported the Heat had interest in Josh Christopher. That's the only thing I can really see. I don't really see anything else. I think they like their group, and I think they got a good group of players that can go and compete and try to go for it all this year.
Yeah, so 17 players in two ways, you know, right now. Excuse me, actually, well, we got 3 2 ways right now. So total of 20 on the roster. And let's kind of group them together, you know, real quick, Parker. You know, the two ways are Gigi Jackson, Vince Williams, as well as Jacob Gilliard. So you've got those out of the way. You've got your core in Ja Jaren, and Desmond Bane. You've got your main supporting cast in Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard, you know, Steven Adams, Brandon Clark, you know, when he gets back. You've got, you know, you're a young established front court player in Santi Aldama. I'll include him in that supporting cast. So that takes up about eight players. And then you've got plenty of the young players as well, the young wings in, you know, Laravia, Roddy, Zaire. You could throw Lofton in there. And then you've got a couple of, you know, outliers, though, you know, others that definitely, you know, make sense for this team currently in Jiddy, Xavier Tillman and Derrick Rose. I'm sure I forgot someone. And then, of course, Isaiah Todd and Josh Christopher kind of on the outside looking in. So when you look at this roster, you've got about half of this roster being either your young core or established talent to support that young core. And then the other half is young talents that you're looking to see what they can do in terms of further development. So I think one thing that stands out to me from the end of the year press conference, Parker, you know, Zach Kleiman talked about, you know, did we go in too deep to youth last summer? I think he's done a good job of balancing it out, staying committed to developing the young talent that's on this roster, but also bringing in some more certainty to balance out the experience with the development. Are you happy with that experience plus youth and potential, that balance that's there right now with this roster?
Yeah. I mean, getting some veterans in the locker room, even though there's varying contributions, like I don't know how much Derrick Rose is going to contribute, but when you're thinking about mentors for the locker room and well-respected veterans, I don't know how many more you can think of that are more qualified for that than Derrick Rose, especially when you consider the ties to the city and stuff. It's just kind of those, like, quote-unquote immaculate vibes kind of things. And then Marcus Smart, I mean, this dude is a – he is one of the few players in the NBA that you can describe as a heart and soul of a team. And he was a guy that was a heart and soul of a Boston Celtics team that was a contender for the past – that's been a contender for the past 7 years. And now he's coming to Memphis. You're kind of hoping to shake up the vibes and kind of replace him – or replace a guy that was kind of – let's just – I mean, I'm not going to go too deep into it, but a guy that was kind of shooting himself in the foot a little bit with a guy that has a well-documented playoff resume and has a track record of showing up in big moments, it's huge. And I think also, too, I feel better about this roster as it is, even though they didn't make all these like major moves, is because we're getting to see how they responded to adversity. And if we're taking kind of like what you alluded to exit interview comments. And in that same comments, you know, you had a GM, a head coach, and the three core players that were pissed off about how the season ended. And getting to autocorrect from that and really respond to their first dose of adversity and frankly their first quote unquote disappointing season of this iteration of Grizzlies basketball. I mean, it should be nice. And then you also, too, got to factor in getting Steven Adams back healthy as well. And then, again, getting a full season of Luke Kennard. Like, I feel good about the makeup of this roster, both on the court, in the locker room, and just how they can overall contend in the Western Conference.
I agree as well. I definitely think that, you know, bringing in Marcus Smart, bringing in Derrick Rose, you know, I think those were good moves. And I also think that the Grizzlies, you know, brought in, you know, they got Josh Christopher, got Isaiah Todd, you know, they may have done favors for, you know, Houston and Phoenix and bringing them in, but you got young talents that you have a couple of months to, if you really like something about them, maybe something can develop to where you can open a roster spot for them. You know, I think we'll talk about that in just a bit. But I go through the roster like I did, Parker, because, you know, kind of what I wanted to talk about on this podcast is where the roster hierarchy is. And, you know, if I were to, you know, build out this, you know, elaborate, you know, illustration of what I think the hierarchy is, I feel like that, you know, your starting or closing lineup, if Steven Adams is healthy, is probably going to contain Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Steven Adams. I definitely think that those are four of your five starters. Your two players off your bench, your first two subs off your bench, you know, while John Morant is out with a suspension and Brandon Clark is out with injury. Your two first players off your bench, in my opinion, should be Luke Kennard and Santi Aldama. And the reason why I take them off the bench is because I definitely think that those are good chess pieces to use in different orders. But then that six of your top nine, the other three remaining spots, I think are meant for the young combo forwards. And that leads to the question of David Roddy, Jake LaRavia, and Zaire Williams. I honestly do think that, especially if it's Zaire, if that's the small forward right now that the Grizzlies are highest on, they should start him. I think Kennard coming off the bench is a very good way to have punch off the bench. But what are your thoughts on the kind of the hierarchy or the pecking order of that young combo forward grouping with the Grizzlies? And do you think whoever emerges as the, you know, clear best guy out of that group going into the season, should they start over Kennard?
Yeah, I mean, I think whoever that is should start over Kennard, not for the sake that they're better than Kennard, but I value the kind of presence that Kennard can bring off the bench. Also, too, let's just – I'm with Luke Hatmaker of Love City Media. Let's go push those agendas of Luke Kennard being a contender for Sixth Man of the Year. I mean, I'm just with that. I think it kind of strengthens your bench and kind of allows for easier lineup staggering as well, because what you could do is you can – hypothetically, you can have Bane be the first sub out with – you can kind of follow what you have been doing the past couple of years and have Bane and Jaren be the first subs and have like Luke and Santi come in. And that way, whenever it's time for Smart to get a breather, you're putting Desmond Payne in with Luke Kennard. And or you can even have Smart be the first guy off the bench. But yeah, but I think my answer on the pecking order for the young forwards, my thoughts on it, it's not established yet. Even though that guy should start, it's not established yet. And the thing that I think is going to establish it is outside shooting, because that is the swing skill for all those young combo forwards. And for our listeners, we are clearly talking about Zaire Williams, Jake LaRavia, David Roddy, and like, let's not sleep on Vince Williams Jr. I don't think. I think they'll give him G League reps for sure. He only played 8 games with the Hustle last season per his basketball reference page. I could be wrong. If I am wrong, someone correct me, but I do think they'll give him Hustle reps unless, you know, Roddy, LaRavia, or Zaire just aren't performing. But it's going to come down to the outside shot, because at the end of the day, what you need in a lineup with Marcus Smart, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Steven Adams is space. And what kind of floor spacing are you generating if that fifth guy can't shoot that well? And I mean, I think at right now, all these guys project as guys with shooting upside, whether that's with form or with good stretches of good shooting. However you want to spin it, they have shooting upside, but you got to have whoever materializes that the quickest and the best. That's how the pecking order is going to shape out, in my opinion. Because I think all three of those guys, and we'll get into it over the course of the conversation, I just don't want to ramble. I think all three of those guys contribute and add value on the floor aside from outside shooting, but the outside shooting is going to be the ultimate differentiating factor into establishing a pecking order and winning playing time in a crowded wing long logjam.
And that's what it is, right? And I agree with you. You know, I mentioned on Twitter the other day, you know, if I were to, you know, put in order who I think, how I would, you know, in terms of my faith that this player would be able to take a Santi type leap from last year, this year in the role that the Grizzlies need. Now, I ranked them Jake LaRavia, Zaire Williams, David Roddy, Vince Williams, GG Jackson. I agree with you. Give GG, give Vince plenty of reps in South Haven. Get to the point to where you're comfortable bringing Vince up to be a spot rotation member if you need it. But, you know, when we talk about Jake LaRavia, Zaire Williams, and David Roddy, to your point, when it comes to those three, the swing stat is the shot, the outside shooting. I think pedigree-wise, and I think from what I've seen so far in terms of when they played in the NBA, I think that your most consistency in that low usage role that they're going to be in, I think that's going to come from Jake. And I also think he's someone that could be, you know, kind of a consistently positive contributor when he's on the court through good defense, connecting, passing, things like that. I think Zaire's got the most upside. I think that he's got the most upside defensively. And if he could ever become a reliable corner three shooter with the occasional mid-range, you've got something there. And with David Roddy, I could see him being the most trustworthy because he played last year in a rotation spot. He's a decent defender. He can do things with the ball and without the ball. But I think the other two have more upside. When you look at, while there may not be a pecking order yet, and the outside shot's what's going to separate it for you, what really stands out to you about, you know, hey, if this guy really hits, this is how it's going to benefit Memphis. Who do you think has the best chance of hitting this year in the most beneficial way for the Grizzlies and their depth?
I mean, the highest upside for it. And I mean, if you want to base off Grizzlies' track record of sophomore slumps into year three bounce backs, it's Zaire Williams. Because I think all Zaire needs to be is like a league average shooter to show his value, because he can cut really well. He can score the mid range. I mean, with his size and where he places the ball on his jumpers with his elevation, it's a hard shot to block when you're getting guarded by wings. He has a really good mid range shot. He can cut. And also too, one thing that's kind of slept on, it's not something that no one's going to be doing big old segments or big think pieces on it. But without Brandon Clark, there's not a real vertical spacer on this team, a guy that has to be accounted for to be a lob threat whenever he's on the floor, like Zaire. And Zaire Williams accomplishes that, especially when he comes crashing in from the corner. You know, a lot of teams get occupied and focus on the drive, on the pick and roll, where Zaire was able to slip baseline, catch a lob, it's right there. That was a big component of his offense. And also, too, I think one thing, and it was a thing last year, too, with Dylan Brooks on the roster, but just as important as positional depth, you need role depth as well. And the Memphis Grizzlies, they need more defensive stoppers, you know, in the event that Marcus Smart is down. And I think Zaire Williams is best equipped to do that, because with his foot speed and what he's kind of shown guarding guys like Steph Curry, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, he can guard guards and he could be a secondary stopper. He could be the guy next in the pecking order behind Marcus Smart. And guess what that does if he's starting? It's allowing Desmond Bane to be the perimeter hider on defense. And he's already a really solid chase defender. So all of a sudden you're building a very good defensive unit when John Morant's out. You're expending Desmond Bane to handle more of an offensive responsibility with John Morant out. So, I mean, I think Zaire Williams provides the most upside there. And I would probably say the most surefire thing would probably be Jake LaRavia. And I would love to get your thoughts on this, but I mean, I know his three-point shot wasn't pretty at Summer League. Shot 32% from three, but he shot between 8 and 9 threes a game with the Summer League. And I know people were throwing shade at the efficiency. And I got to say, Jake LaRavia, like the rest of the Grizzlies wings, he's got to be able to show he can shoot the ball consistently on the main roster. But also at the same time, the difference between what he'll be doing on the main roster and what he did in G League and Summer League and stuff like that, and he's not going to get much stuff run to him. He's going to be the fifth guy on the floor. He's going to be getting his shots off the gravity of Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, Jaren Jackson Jr., and be able to shoot, catch, and shoot threes. I mean, with the hustle in the Summer League, he's running off handoffs. He's running off screens. He's shooting off the dribble. He's having actions run for him. He's not going to get that on the main roster, which should help his consistency in his accuracy from three, which will make him a more valuable piece in the rotation because of the stuff you said, his team defense, his connective playmaking, his ability to rebound, his size on the perimeter. He's 6'8". Like, you need some size out there, especially with a backcourt of Marcus Smart and Desmond Bane. So, I mean, It's really boils down to those two guys. But I mean, I think when it comes to this upside, it's Zaire.
Yeah, and you know, getting on the point of Laravia, you know, when we talk about the fact that he wasn't that efficient in summer league, I definitely understand where people were coming from. But let's go back a year ago. We were all looking at Jake Laravia, and the first thing that stood out to us is it's the lack of aggressiveness. He was too timid. There wasn't enough attempts for him to really be able to grow into what we, you know, his potential. What comes from all these threes? What comes from these drives where he's trying to posterize people? What comes from the high usage is reps. It's developing the aggressiveness and the confidence. And the one thing that it does that we didn't have last year, there are now plenty and plenty of examples via tape for the Grizzlies to go over with him that will make him more efficient. So that's where the value comes from these attempts. Even though the efficiency wasn't there, I think there's plenty of value in the fact that he got tons of reps from Summer League that over the next 2.5 months, the Grizzlies can work with him on to improve his overall approach. The second thing that I'll say to your point is the reason why I feel that Jake Laravia probably is the, you know, best setup of skill sets to fill that low usage role that the Grizzlies need out of their young, you know, wing that potentially could start. Is two things. I think he does the best job out of Roddy Zaire and himself of finding the soft spot in the defense. You want to talk about working off that gravity of Desmond Bain, Smart, and Jaren Jackson Jr.? Laravia showed he can find the soft spot in the defense before it even developed. He showed that he can move away from the defense to get open for a pass for a quick three. I think he does that better than Roddy and Zaire. I also think that if, while Roddy may be better of attacking closeouts off the dribble, I think Jake does a better of moving the ball around to find the best shot as consistently as possible. So that's the reason why I think Jake may have a little bit of a heads up right now, unless Zaire just absolutely takes off over the next few months. But Parker, to that point, those two things that I mentioned about Jake, moving off the ball, making sure to make the good pass, that's adding value when you're not in a high usage role or off ball. That's increasing that shot value. That's what Zach Kleiman talked about when he added Roddy and Laravia last year. You talk about the swing stat for these young forwards being how well they shoot the outside shot. I want to go a step further and say that the next evolution of this Grizzlies team is having these young forwards really be able to be consistent with that outside shot, and that's what's going to help them take the next step in the playoffs. So it's not just about which one of these young forwards show that they've got the best outside shooting value. It's that needed element for this Grizzlies team that helps them take the next step.
Yeah. I mean, and you bring it up right there, the playoffs. Like, here, I mean, they've talked about, the Grizzlies have talked about it ad nauseum over the past 2 years, is improving the half-court offense. And Sean, what is going to improve half-court offense, or just offense in general? More threes, because threes are better than twos and zeros. It's simple math. It's crazy. But when you're looking at the Grizzlies' wing depth, it's just, at the end of the day, you're going to be more potent when you have as much floor space. In this day and age in the NBA, you're going to be more potent with more floor spacing. And when you have a paint-heavy guy guard in John Morant, a paint-heavy forward in John Morant, when you're having guys like Stephen Adams, Brandon Clark, Xavier Tillman as your post hubs when it comes to high post hubs, when it comes to screening and collective playmaking and outside shooting, you need to be able to open the floor as much as you can, or else none of that is going to work when stuff really gets tight. We saw that in their clutch time offense last year. It kind of slipped because teams were able to just pack the paint. Obviously, you know, getting a guy, having guys like Desmond Bane, Luke Kennard, I think even Marcus Smart, even though his regular season percentages don't show it, he shows that if he's wide open, he's going to hit threes. But how many guys can you add? And you're really looking at Zaire Williams, Jake Laravia, and David Roddy because of their size, what they can add on the basketball floor aside from outside shooting, and just the fact that you need, as the team became a little bit more top-heavy, getting guys like And I'm saying top heavy very loosely. Like they have seven, or I'll say six playoff rotation guys, like for sure. Santi Aldama is probably going to make that seven this year. You need an eighth, and you got to go look at the wing rotation, or else we're having an entirely different conversation, Sean, in mid to late January, early February of how the Grizzlies need to update their roster.
Absolutely. And I think that kind of is the reason why the Grizzlies have not made that extra consolidation move right now. Like I still think when you look at, you know, how this roster is made up, someone like a Dorian Finney-Smith or a Royce O'Neal from the Brooklyn Nets still makes plenty of sense. Dorian Finney-Smith more than O'Neal, I think. But I do also feel that Zach Kleiman owes it to himself to fully see through what this young combo forward group can do. And I think that he has the time to be able to do that with the start of the season. Even without John Morant and Brandon Clark, I think this is really the last sensible opportunity for him to see how this group can progress. Can they progress to where at least one of them can be reliable? Maybe not even to a playoff rotation piece for sure this year, but at the very least they can show that promise like Santi did last year. I think that is certainly going to be critical. But I want to shift gears a bit here, Parker, you know, and talk about the front court, because, you know, we know that, you know, your top three, with Brandon Clark out, hopefully Steven Adams is good, though I still think that he's going to be a little bit limited to start the season. Jaren, Steven Adams, and Santi Aldama are your top three. When it comes to Xavier Tillman and Kenneth Lofton Jr., for you, Parker, when it comes to their utilization in the rotation, is it as simple as if you need defense, you're going to give minutes to X? If you need offense, you're going to give your minutes to Lofton. I could see X probably having a little bit of an upper hand due to his track record to start the season. But my main point that I'm getting at, me and Joe Molinax talked about it on Bluff City Media earlier this week, Kenneth Lofton Jr.'s role in this team is to be utilized when you need offense from your front court. Does that stand out to you? Because I definitely think the Summer League has shown he's ready to contribute as an NBA player in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the end of the day, I think what's going to end up, it's going to boil down to improvements between Xavier Tillman and Kenneth Lofton Jr. For Kenneth Lofton Jr., can his defense hold up at an NBA level? We've seen improvements primarily with his stock activity. I mean, just kind of getting into the middle of actions and just mucking them up just by being there, being big, and just keeping his hands active. It showed all his improvements definitely showed in the summer league. And for Xavier Tillman, I mean, it's going to boil down to the outside shot. So, I mean, I'm going to put it, all right, I'll ask you this, Sean. I'll throw it back on you. If Xavier Tillman is, let's say he's shooting 34% from three on three attempts per game while providing everything else that he did last season, the defensive stopping that he's had on some of the league's best players, his connective passing, his screening and rolling, his rebounding, that's a hard player to take out of the rotation, right?
At that point, in all honesty, if you're telling me that basically Xavier Tillman is shooting 35% from three on three shots a game and he's doing everything else, I'll tell you exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that at that point, you're looking to see what you can do to get off of the Jitty contract, even if it costs a second round draft pick to maybe do. And I'm talking with Xavier Tillman in his camp about a potential 3-year, $25 million extension. If he's doing that, we're well into the season. That's the type of player that you want to keep around to be a long-term depth piece in the front court. So yes, you want to talk about swing stats. If Xavier Tillman gets back to shooting a three to a level that he did his rookie year, you've definitely got a long-term depth piece.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's just going to boil down to improvements just because I do think on one hand, like when it comes to defense, I think Kenneth Lofton Jr. is the most Jaren-dependent player on the roster because I think he masks his defensive woes. I think very, very much so. I can't even put into words how much he would mask his defensive woes. And I just think that like a front court of like him and Santi is like a house of cards defensively. Whereas I think Xavier Tillman It holds up. It holds up for a couple minutes. I don't know if that holds up with Santi and Kenneth Lofton Jr., but I mean, hey, if they roll into a matchup, they got an undersized team in the second unit, and they're like, we need some offense tonight. Let's go put Junior out there. I can see it. But I mean, I just don't want recency bias to take away from everything that Xavier Tillman's done to really kind of prove himself to be a really important. He emerges a really important glue for this team in the event of Steven Adams' injury and Brandon Clark's injury. And he was really one of the most consistent contributors over the last 2 months of the season, including the playoffs. So, I mean, that's kind of where I stand on it. But again, I mean, Taylor Jenkins has shown the mindset of his rotations are more of like a, what are you doing for me right now? Instead of what you have done for me. Obviously, he doesn't discredit it because you want to continue to build confidence for your guys. So, I mean, we've seen him take out Xavier Tillman of the rotation after his rookie season. Brandon Clark had time out of the rotation. Zaire Williams as well. I mean, whoever's contributing at this point throughout the season, they're going to be out on the floor. So that's what it's going to boil down to, especially between those two.
And I think it'll be very interesting to watch evolve as time goes on, because, you know, when it comes to Kenneth Lofton and Xavier Tillman, and you compare them where they are right now, you know, as players in terms of their value, I think there certainly is an easy argument to make that Kenneth Lofton Jr. has a higher offensive upside than Xavier Tillman, at least as a scorer. I think that's a fair statement to make. And I also think that that's a relevant statement to make with the fact that, you know, again, this league is continuing to trend more and more towards offense. But just the overall different ways that Xavier Tillman can contribute, the defensive versatility, you can match him up against the best centers in the league and you're going to get results. You can match him up on the wing against certain young, you know, against certain guards or wings. He can actually help you out by being able to guard the wing a bit. You don't get that type of versatility with it, Kenneth Lofton. So I think for both of them, you know, especially if Lofton, you know, between Lofton, it comes again, I guess, to the outside shot. Whichever one of them is definitely shooting the outside shot better, it's going to be hard for Taylor Jenkins to not feature that player, at least in some type of roles, you know, every other night or every third night. So that'll definitely be interesting to watch. Parker, the other question I wanted to ask you in terms of the time that we're going to be playing without Ja. I was talking with Funaki Stats, Stephen Adams Stats on from Twitter, you know, on the last GBB Live, and we were talking about some different trios or different, you know, duos that we're really excited to see on the court together. We talked about Kennard, Bane, and Stephen Adams being on the court together, seeing what they could do. Another really fun duo that I would love for the Grizzlies to really dive into, to feature a lot, especially if Stephen Adams is limited, is the Santi Aldama at the four, Jaren at the five front court. There's a lot of potential there and a lot of shooting upside there as well. What do you think about that duo? And is there another duo or trio that you're really interested to see, you know, working together early in the season to see what potential may be there?
Ooh, let's see. I do like that duo. I do like the duo of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Santi Aldama, because it allows for you, if you really wanted to, depending on who you have out there as the other three guys, to really kind of have like a five out model and really just open up the floor. It opens up a lot of role versatility. Like, you can have, hypothetically, let's say you have Desmond Bane as a ball handler, you have a wing spotting up, Jaren and Santi are around the perimeter or at the high post, and you can have Marcus Smart in the dunker spot or something like that. I think that would be so cool, allow for a lot of role versatility. I think the duo I'm looking for, I'm ready to see the more and more sample size build with Desmond Bane and Luke Kennard, because I just think the looks that they generate for themselves and each other and their teammates with their combination of shooting and playmaking off closeouts, it's just mesmerizing basketball. I love watching it. And especially without my always favorite Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark lineups, Desmond Bane and Luke Kennard, they're ready to step up to the plate. And for a trio, I'd probably say, well, I'm going to mix it up here. I would say, because of the defensive upside, I'm going to go Marcus Smart, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Steven Adams, because I think those three together, and maybe alongside like a Desmond Bane, you have a incredible, with those three in particular, you have an incredibly strong foundation to hold a top 3 to 5 defense. I'm not going to be like, it's going to be the best defense to start the season. I'm not going to go out that far on a limb. But I think it could be an elite defense that helps you tread water in the event or in John Morant's 25-game suspension. I think that defensive trio alongside the offensive firepower of guys like Desmond Bane, Luke Kennard, and Jaren Jackson Jr., I think you could – I shouldn't be shocking if the Grizzlies get off to a good start because of the different combinations and how all their different elite traits blend and complement one another.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is that, you know, this Grizzlies team, in a lot of ways, you know, is not, you know, they're trying to make the most of a group of guys together that probably is not the most, you know, ideal. And what I mean by ideal is, you know, the Grizzlies still don't have that big wing, that big 3-and-D wing that many teams have been trying to add to us for years. They still are playing some of their best basketball with a non-shooting big on the court in the Steven Adams, you know, at center. But the thing is that it works for Memphis. It's worked on allowing for them to be able to amplify their core. You now add Luke Kennard to it. I mean, again, while their way that the Grizzlies may go about doing things may not necessarily be the most ideal or most traditional in what, you know, many think should work in today's NBA, at any point in time, they still can feature lineups that have a top 15 player in the league in Ja Morant, two of the top five shooters, if not the two best shooters in the league, in Luke Kennard and Desmond Bane, and then arguably the best defensive duo in the league in Marcus Smart and Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm not saying all five of those players play together, but if you have those players in lineups that are on the court at some point in time during the entire game, you're offering many different looks that it can allow you to win games in many different ways. So I think that that's the most exciting thing. And then just building up that young depth. Parker, I can't tell you how excited I am. Even Santi, you know, taking the leap he did last year, I'll throw him into that mix. I'm really excited to see who emerges from the Grizzlies' young depth to really stand out as a reliable player to help the Grizzlies take it to the next level, hopefully sooner rather than later this year.
I mean, it happens every year. Like, it leaps and improvements happen every year because of the empowerment from this coaching staff and the talent identification from this front office. I mean, I think people kind of soured a little bit on the depth because we didn't have that eye-popping immediate contributions like we've seen the past couple seasons. But I don't want to sleep on – and also, too, I know Summer League, you know, people kind of have their quarrels with these guys. I mean – they weren't in their optimized roles. They're not in their not only optimized, but actualized roles. They use Summer League to get those guys uncomfortable so that it helps them grow their game. And I do think that we saw a lot of good stuff that could lead to some very strong 2023-2024 campaigns where maybe now we're talking about certain players, certain young wings as guys that you're comfortable playing for 10 to 15 minutes in a playoff game.
Exactly. And again, you know, the Grizzlies are working their way up to where they want to consistently be someone that can go deep into the playoffs. And while we all know that the team, you know, wants for the right situation to come along that will allow for them to do that sooner rather than later, I'd much rather the team continue to take a patient approach on when to know when to make those moves that really are about win now instead of forcing it. And we know that with how calculated and you know, put together, you know, when it comes to their plans that Zach Kleiman and Taylor Jenkins are, they're going to take a patient, calculated approach to do exactly that. Parker, I know we, you know, talked about a bunch of general stuff, you know, that not a lot of specific stuff right now to talk about, you know, with the fact that, you know, the Grizzlies probably, you know, may not necessarily make a roster move now for months. We know some will be coming. But when it comes to you and in your coverage and what you've got planned, what all is going on your end? Tell us all that you got going on at Substack Elitist.
Yes. I mean, I'm not stopping. I will say, I'm not getting into the whole offseason and the offseason stuff. I deleted the Twitter mobile app, just going to straight browser for the moment, just trying to kind of decompress a little bit, but also still just working on my craft. I'm going to, because, you know, I'm solo, I can't just pick a couple player previews to do, or I don't want to throw it into, like, you know, one big piece, whatever. I want to do my due diligence and write on the, I'll say 17 different players on this roster and really just dive deep. I'm going to be starting with Ziaire Williams with the whole power stuff. I'm going to push that to next week. But, you know, yeah, it's really going to be just diving into each player, really studying the game and kind of blending the working on my craft, but also protecting my mental a little bit and staying off Twitter to avoid as much of the off season content. But I mean, what about you, Sean? What do you got over GBB, GBB Live, Bluff City Media? What do you got planned?
Well, yeah, you know, there's definitely some plans in place. Definitely, you know, Grizzlies and non-Grizzlies related. But
yeah, you're going to be a dad. You're going to be a dad in the next few months.
And I don't know how many may or may not know, you know, that's going on. But yes, that is right around the corner. So, definitely just going to contribute. You know, the good thing about it is that, you know, when you know, you're covering sports, covering the Grizzlies, what have you, you can get into, you know, some pretty creative thoughts and, you know, you can write about a ton of different things or talk about a ton of different things that are out there. So just going to keep talking about, you know, different things that, you know, really could help the Grizzlies take them to the next level. Like, for instance, what about the past could be improved upon going forward? So probably going to dive into that a little bit. And, you know, just continue to talk about all the different things going around in the NBA. Because to your point, I definitely think, you know, that is one thing that I'll end on my end, you know, with this podcast. The thing that I'll say is this, is that even though the Grizzlies right now have 17 players for 15 spots, and they got the 3-2 ways, where Zach Kleiman operates, you know, pretty effectively, is really being able, this is how he got Marcus Smart, is really being able to keep tap on what potentially is going on around the NBA. And with all those names, I forget if I mentioned them earlier, but Pascal Siakam, Damian Lillard, James Harden, you know, potentially Karl Anthony Towns, if there are others that potentially could be moved, you could see something develop very quickly. So my whole point is that even though we talk about the fact that this is, you know, really the slow time of the NBA calendar every year, with that many names potentially on the move and with how Zach Kleiman typically operates, you could see something come together quickly. And while Zach Kleiman, I think, you know, is perfectly fine with where he is, he talks about the fact he's going to be aggressive at the drop of a dime. I think if the right situation presented itself, we definitely could see him be aggressive, Parker.
Yeah, I will. I do want to add one thing. Hey, don't throw Pascal Siakam there. He might be the first all-star to come out there in the wake of trade rumors and say, no, I want to stay where I'm at. I'm not going to sign an extension anywhere that I'm traded. I want to remain with the Toronto Raptors. Let's put some respect on Pascal Siakam's name. Let's get some respect to Spicy P.
All right. Well, then if that's the case, Raptors need to go out and get Karl Anthony Towns and really take a run at it. How about that?
Yeah, there we go.
No disrespect to Pascal Siakam, just, you know, hey, you know, just mentioning some names that are out there. But Parker, always an absolute pleasure getting to talk with you. Thank you so much for taking the time. I hope that you and you and your family are doing well. Enjoy, you know, this time, you know, that while it is slow for the NBA, it opens up an opportunity for those of us that cover the team, and Grizzlies Nation in general. Hey, football's coming up. Just gives you a time to be able to enjoy the summer and get ready for the season coming up. But Parker, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Sean.
For Parker Fleming, who you can find at Paka_Flocka on Twitter, my name's Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. Find all the great podcast content and written content at BluffCityMedia.co. You've got the Next Gen Podcast, Core 4 Podcast. You've got the several different betting podcasts as well. Plenty of podcasts covering the Grizzlies and the Tigers 901 podcast, the On the Bluff podcast. So many different great sources of content to enjoy. Make sure you get all of it by subscribing to BluffCityMedia.co, as well as both the Bluff City Media and Grizzly Bear Blues podcast feed. And don't forget to subscribe. It's for a great cause. To Parker's Substack Elitist Substack, a great source of both audio and written content as well. For Parker Fleming, my name's Sean Coleman. Until next time, go Grizzlies. We'll talk to you again soon here on GBB Live.